You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Although if you're playing fantasy sports today, I guess it's CFL football on DraftKings. We'll talk some CFL football with our main man, Babano from Sports Memo and SBRPicks.com. Ian Cameron will join us. Nobody loves the CFL like this guy does. He's on top of every game, every week. We'll talk about every game. This week, week four of CFL action. Week four of CFL, man. The season's flying by, which means the National Football League preseason is rapidly approaching, man. August the 3rd, they're kicking off the Hall of Fame game. Normally, the Hall of Fame game was on Sunday nights all the time. They moved it to Thursday night this year. It's the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys, first team out of the gate. Last year, we cashed in large on the Dallas Cowboys in a preseason because I was all aboard the Dak Prescott bandwagon. I was like, I was the first guy there. I was sitting in first class. I was like, I'm telling you guys, this kid's good, Mississippi State. I mean, when he was at Mississippi State, I remember I told people, I said, this kid, Dak Prescott, I said, no one talks about him. I said, why can't he be like Cam Newton? So he's the same size, does everything the same, played in the same conference. I mean, he didn't win a national championship, but he didn't have the talent around him. And I said, Dak Prescott's either the next Cam Newton or he's a big bust and he can't make it. Well, we'll see what happens in year two, but I'm looking forward to the start of the preseason. We're talking football, fired up today because we're talking football with Babano. CFL football, arena football, not arena. I used to talk about the arena, but the arena league sucks. Now, Tommy Hutton will join us. 19 years, man. 19 years. Tommy Hutton was the television analyst of the Miami Marlins, but then Low Life Loria fired him. It's amazing. You know, we were talking yesterday about what a scumbag and lowlife Jeffrey Loria is. And now we're joined by a dude that got canned by Loria. But Tommy Hutton's a classy guy. He's probably not going to get into like a bash fest or anything, but I will. Like, I'll just take a couple of shots. I'll get my shots in there. Tommy Hutton's going to join us. We're going to talk Green Bay Packer football. You NFL fans are like, you know, I thought that MMA fans were the biggest dicks out there. I was wrong. NFL football fans, although passionate. All you son of a bitches, y'all rip me unless I say your team's going to go 12-4. Like, you know, your team's not going 12-4. If you want a positive review of every football team, I don't know, go to ESPN.com, all right? Every beat writer has their team finishing 10-6. It's impossible. Not every team in the league can be 10-6, all right? I was a little bit too nice earlier in my preview. So, you know, and it was camera two Drew that told me. He goes, what, you're going to pick the over on every team? I'm like, yeah, you're right. I got to get a little meaner. And I start cutting some fat off here a little bit. Today we're talking about the Green Bay Packers, and I think Packer fans will actually be pretty happy. Or at least you should be, but I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, we got a lot of stuff to get to on the show, so let's get down to business. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game has come and gone, and the Major League Baseball regular season is often called it's a marathon. It's 162 games in 6 months. It's not a sprint. Well, I'll tell you what, the sprint begins tomorrow, all right? It's a freaking sprint right now, man, and it's not too early to start looking at the standings right now. It's not too early to hit the panic button, literally and figuratively, is the Chicago Cubs. Didn't hit the panic button, but they pulled the first of what could be a couple of deals, as there's been a lot of surprises in 2017. First of the year, it's like, you know, I don't know, man. It's like the power surge. Is the balls juiced or the players juiced? We don't know. We've been talking about this a lot. Probably a combination of both. But either way, they're on pace to hit more home runs than they've ever hit ever in the history of Major League Baseball, including the steroid-induced era. And it's also been a year of the surprise. Who the hell would have thought the Arizona Diamondbacks would be as good as they are? Or the Minnesota Twins would be lurking. Except the Twins story is about to come to an end. The question is, can the Milwaukee Brewers keep this up? To me, the biggest surprise in baseball are the Milwaukee Brewers, a.k.a. Chicago Cubs situation here. And, hey, the St. Louis Cardinals are right there as well, even though I don't think the Cardinals are actually that good. Now, the Chicago Cubs win the World Series last year, and people had them penciled in to win like 110 games again. You know, their season win total, man, was incredibly freaking high this year. People, oh, yeah, they'll win 97 games, no problem. No problem, 103 games. You know, the Chicago Cubs right now, they've won 43 games. They're at the break. And the Chicago Cubs, you know, we kept waiting for the Cubs to, you know, oh, look, they're only 2.5 back. The Brewers can't keep this up. The Brewers create a little distance, actually. Going into the All-Star break. They're at 5.5 up right now. Pretty significant. It's amazing that the odds makers, they're not budging on this. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you guys, the Cubs are still minus 500 to win a division, even though they're a couple of games back of the Brewers. Right now, they're 5.5 back, yet the Cubs are still minus 200 favorites to win this division. If you've got confidence in the Brewers, you get the Brew Crew plus 210 right now. But, you know, the Cubs have issues, and they bring in Quintana. All right, that's okay. Quintana turned it around after a slow start. He was 2-7. He started to get it together as of late. I wonder if he's going to move. You know, same city, right? North side, south side. Do you move? Probably not. Kind of, it'd be a pain in the ass for him, though. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, in whatever city you're in, like, you know, you got a new job. Oh, great. Now I work on the other side of the stupid city. Do I move? I don't know. It's already the midseason. Quintana's going to have to leave his place like an hour before any other Cub does to get to Wrigley all the time. But, you know, the Cubs, their starting pitching kind of blows. It's kind of worn out. They have good pitchers, but Lackey's not getting any younger. Lester's not getting any younger. A lot of mileage on Lester's arm, a lot of playoff games, etc. Jake Arrieta is throwing the ball hard for a couple of years. Same thing. You know, it almost looks like they have dead arms. You know, they're just a little bit flat right now. You can bring Quintana in, but that's not going to help you with runners in scoring position. As I can't believe this. The Chicago Cubs are hitting 230 with runners in scoring position this year. 230, really? And even worse, with runners in scoring position and two out, Chicago Cubs are hitting 221. That's not going to get it done. You know, even if it is a Milwaukee Brewer team that could regress at any point in time. I'm just not seeing it right now. And I actually think the Milwaukee Brewers at plus 210 are a pretty solid bet. What do you think? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live. All right, we've got a solid show lined up for you. We're going to talk some Green Bay Packer football a little bit later on in the show. Tommy Hutton's going to join us, man. I didn't realize how long Tommy Hutton played big league ball for. Guy's rookie season was 1966, and his last season was 1981, spanning three decades. And that's like, man, he's seen it all. Like, you know, he played baseball with, like, the shave those sideburns and stuff like that, where if you smiled, you were a hot dog. To, you know, the 81 days when everyone was snorting cocaine in the dugout. He's seen it all. We'll talk some baseball with Tommy Hutton. All right, I've said this before. I've asked before. It's pretty clear. I'm not getting a fan. Nobody's buying me a fan. So I'm going to buy a fan, like, after this show, actually. Because, man, I don't know if you've seen the movie Airplane. You know, when Buddy's sweating and stuff. Like I nearly drowned doing that intro. Like, I never sweat like that. It's like I'm hungover or something, but I'm not. Like, I don't even know where I got that much sweat. I don't know what I was sweating out, but that was a lot of it. Yeah, man, I need a damn fan, man. I'm going to get a fan, and I'm serious about this, too. I'm going to, like, lock the fan up or anything, and if I see anybody using the fan, I'm going to, like, plug the fan in with your face into the electric socket. Let's bring in Ian Cameron, Babano, right now. What's going on, Babano?
Don Chevrier and Tommy Hutton, one of my favorite Blue Jay broadcast pairs from the early 90s when I was a wee 5-6-year-old kid watching on CTV, and then they went to BBS, I believe it was, the Baton broadcast system way back in the day. Great memories of Tommy Hutton and Don Chevrier doing Jays games. It was good times back then.
Yeah, you know what? I know him more as a Montreal Expo player, and he was briefly an Expo analyst as well. But you're right, yeah, the Saturday afternoon CBC games in a week, right? The Blue Jays, him and Don Chevrier. I forgot about old Don Chevrier.
Oh, great voice. He did Lillehammer Olympics, I remember. He did some, I think, basketball or something as well for CTV. Great broadcaster. Tommy Hutton, I think, took over from Tony Kubek, actually, doing Blue Jay games back in the day, and that's how he got his start with them. But long time ago, Gabe, I'm kind of dating myself bringing up all this stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? I consider myself pretty knowledgeable when it comes to the history of broadcasters and the lineage and stuff, and I didn't even know Tony Kubek was the Blue Jay guy.
Yeah, he was with Chevrier for a bit. Kubek did Jay's games, and he did NBC, of course, with Costas every single week.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Joe Garagiola, Costas, yep. And Tony Kubek, the Saturday game of the week, when that was the only game besides your local games. All right, Babano. So, I need to buy a fan, so let's pick some winners right now. We got the Argos and the Bombers. And, man, this Argo team, when they're good, they're real good. Like, when Ricky Ray is in a zone and Ricky Ray's getting protection and he's just throwing the ball down the field very aggressively, he's unstoppable. And he's the best quarterback in the Canadian Football League, with all due respect to Bo Levi Mitchell. Bo Levi's not very accurate. You know, he misses a lot of open guys and bombs and stuff. Ricky Ray is just so accurate, so graceful. And, you know, you watch every CFL game, and then you see Ricky Ray throw, and you're like, ooh, this guy's a cut above everybody. But when Ricky Ray's bad, he's really bad. Like, there's no in-between with Ricky anymore at this stage of his career. So they played three games. He's been really good twice, and he's been really bad once. What are we going to get tonight?
Well, you know what? A great rap lyric from Eminem back in the day, Gabe, was schizophrenia. How many of you got it? I think Ricky Ray might have it, because you just don't know what you're going to get from him week in and week out, and you don't know what you're going to get from this Argos team week in and week out. They had a great week one against Hamilton, fell flat against BC, and that BC loss, Morenci, it's important to note the situation surrounding that game. It was on a short week. They didn't have a lot of time to prepare. It's the very same situation that the Toronto Argonauts are facing here, playing their second road game in a 5-6 day span after beating Ottawa on Saturday. I like the Argos on Saturday. I had them against Ottawa. They won outright. I'm not sure I like this spot for the Argos. They're coming in here against a Winnipeg team that did not play well against Calgary last week. You throw out the losses that Winnipeg has suffered to Calgary and BC since Matt Nichols took over as the starting quarterback. They're 11-2 straight up against the spread and against every other team in the league. I think you're going to get Winnipeg's best effort tonight. I am concerned with linebacker Ian Wild being out for Winnipeg due to injury. That's an impact absence. So is Tristan Akpolago on the defensive front for Winnipeg. But Toronto's also battling some key personnel injuries defensively as well heading into this game. One of the top two pass rushers alongside Victor Butler for this Argo team, not likely to play here in this game tonight. I think we're going to see points. I mean, Toronto-Winnipeg, both games flew over the total head-to-head between these teams last year. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. I like what I'm seeing from this Argos team. Mark Trestman is already furthering this team, moving it forward, making it better, even though it's supposed to be a quote-unquote rebuilding season. I just don't like this spot. Past spots in the CFL where teams are playing twice in less than a week, not usually a good one for teams in that situation.
No, you raise good points. One thing I will state, all right, it was a road game last week at Ottawa, but pretty much it's as close as of a road game as they could have got, right? So, you know, it's not like it's back-to-back, oh, we're getting on planes and, you know, we're staying in hotels. They went to Ottawa for the night and came back essentially after the game. So, you know, that part. One thing I will bring up, too, is you mentioned it with Mark Trestman. Mark Trestman's the smartest coach in the Canadian Football League, right? So I almost feel like on a weekly basis, we're going to have an advantage with Trestman and his group in a coaching from a coaching perspective. I respect Mike O'Shea. He's a player's coach. He's done a nice job. But I think Trestman and his game plan will be better than what Winnipeg has. I think Winnipeg brings it tonight, too. And you know, Babano, look, the fact of the matter is you want to make money in the CFL this year. Just bet the first half unders of these games. Almost every CFL game, with the exception of the Calgary games against Ottawa, are low scoring in the first half. I think there might have been another one that went over. But generally, I think only like maybe three, maybe four. But I think three first halves have gone over so far through 3 weeks in the CFL. But I agree with you. I think there's points on the board tonight. The Bombers, they give up league-high 354 yards a game through the air, Babano, in their two games. I think Ricky Ray will be able to connect deep. Nichols, as you stated, 11-4 as a starter. I think there's points on the board. I like the over 54. I'm going with the Boatman. I'm going to take the Argos. I don't love the Argos, but I do like the over. That'll be the best bet for me in this game. I think we can get to 54 points.
Yeah, I like both of these plays equally initially, but these Winnipeg injuries, the Wild injury is a big one for them. So I'm starting to gear more toward liking the over a little bit more in this game than liking Winnipeg, especially now that Winnipeg's laying more than a field goal. I laid three. It's gone up to 3.5, even 4 in some locations right now. And, you know, it's a tough spot. We're going to find out how good a head coach Mark Trestman is tonight. This is a brutal spot for his team. But, boy, if they can win this game in Winnipeg on the road in a tough situation, boy, Mark Trestman's going to be proven maybe at that point that he's a genius.
You know, the CFL is a weird, it's a weird league in the regular season. Very few teams consistently win on a weekly basis. There's a lot of parity in this league. And as you mentioned, Babat, there's a ton of injuries all the time in the CFL. And, you know, I remember, like, you know, we used to joke in the CFL when I covered the Alouettes, you know, a guy was the player of the week and he got cut the next week. And we're like, yeah, welcome to the league, kid. That's you know, that's the way we roll here. So, you know, we talk, well, this team's got injuries and they have injuries. Like, whatever. Like, every week in the CFL, it's a carousel with the rosters. That's what makes Calgary so good, because essentially they're the same team on a weekly basis. So speaking of which, we have the Calgary Stampeders and the Montreal Alouettes. I had Nick Lewis on Sports Rage Premium this past Saturday. And Nick was very confident about this game. I didn't share his confidence, all right? What I did say is I like the Alouettes' start to the season. I know they're 1-2. The season's forever. These games don't count until September. The Alouettes are trying to build something. They have a new coach. They have new players. They have new everything, new quarterback. You know, they're trying to, you know, they're building. Their offense is really struggling. Their defense is playing well. So I don't think the Alouettes suck like they have for the past couple of years, Babano. But I was somewhat surprised to see that the point spread wasn't higher, that Calgary's only laying 4.5 here.
I have not liked this Montreal team much this season. In fact, I had BC last week against them. I'm actually going to stick my neck out there.
Yeah, we should note, Babano, don't pull a Barry Horowitz with that game last week. It was 16-16 with 2 minutes left.
It was close. It could have gone either way. And I will say this about Montreal. I think that's a set decent spot for them here. And I'm actually going to look toward the Alouettes as a home dog in this game. And here's why. Sometimes you're going to look at situations here in the CFL and say, boy, you know, 1-2, they've not been able to move the ball on offense. But then you look inside this Calgary head-to-head matchup. Montreal's actually gotten the better of Calgary. 3-2 straight up, 5-0 against the spread, last five head-to-head against Calgary, including 3-0 straight up and against the spread, last three meetings here at Percival Molson in Montreal. So the Alouettes have played Calgary very good and very tough in recent seasons. And Calgary's got cluster injuries on the defensive line right now. I'm amazed they played as well up front defensively last week against Winnipeg, considering all the personnel that was out. Charleston Hughes didn't play. Cordero Law hasn't played yet this season. He's one of their top pass rushers. Jagarrett Davis missed that game due to injury. Kashawn Frazier. They had a ton of injuries on the defensive front. I'm not sure they're getting any of these guys back this week, Morenci, on that Calgary defensive front. And Montreal's offensive line, surprisingly, have not yielded very many, if any, sacks this season. The problems offensively have been Durant making some bad decisions at times, a little inaccurate at times, stalling when they get inside opponent territory. I find quite often Montreal will move the ball to the opponent 45 or 50 yard line, and then that is where the drive will stall.
They can't throw the ball down the field. That's the thing. I mean, you're right. He's only been sacked once or something this year, but it's hard to get sacked when you dink and dunk as quickly as they do. And it's a problem with a lot of teams in the CFL now. They complete the passes, but they're completing the passes for 4 yards, and the defense is just waiting for them on this big field. They're throwing it like 14 yards sideways for 4 yards. So it looks like, you know, that they even think, hey, look, I'm throwing it far. It's like, no, with the vertical stuff, it didn't add up. And that's the thing. Like, Durant hasn't been bad, but he can't stretch the field. Look, they've scored 52 points in 3 games. So even if Calgary has defensive issues, what can the Alouettes really do about it? They haven't scored more than 19 points in a football game. I just don't see how the Alouettes, and I'm an Alouette fan, but I just don't see how the Alouettes are going to trade points with Calgary.
That they're going to have to get pressure, obviously, on Bo Levi Mitchell, make him uncomfortable. That's going to be up to some of those key defensive players. That's going to be up to the John Bowmans of the world on this Montreal team to make sure they're getting pressure. I think there's potential for this receiving core. B.J. Cunningham has showed some potential. Underwood's been solid the last few games. He's got to stop with the showboating, though. Nick Lewis, of course, our buddy, who was great, by the way, in that interview Saturday. Fantastic job, as always. Ernest Jackson's been good at the receiving core. Tyrell Sutton actually has some potential, too, at running back. He's really run the football better the last couple of games. And Calgary, just for some reason, when they head to Montreal, it's been a little bit of a bugaboo for them.
They go out. That's the thing. Like, I remember when I in the old days, I used to go out, and I'd always see the Calgary Stampeders. Like, always. And you're right. They would always struggle, and it would always be baffling. You're right. They historically haven't played well in Montreal. We can't deny that. So you're going to take a shot with the home dog. For the record, the Alouettes have been a massive under team this year, 3-0 to the under. Similar with the Argos, actually. They're 3-0 to the under. So let's get to the Red Blacks and the Eskimos now. Eskimos are 4-point favorites in this football game. They're 2-0 right now. They're on a bye last week, total 57. Red Blacks coming off the loss to the Argos. They had a 12-0 lead. Then they hit the wall. And I think that's kind of symbolic because I think a lot of people just sort of expected Ottawa to keep rolling and stuff. And I took Ottawa against Calgary in both those games to start the season, Babano, because it's a matchup thing. They seem to match up well with Calgary, and Calgary have a bad secondary. That's another thing, too. I don't know if Durant can expose Calgary's shaky secondary. But anyways, I don't think the Red Blacks are that great. I just think that they had some sort of weird rivalry thing going with Calgary over the last 6 months or whatever. So I think they're due for a regression, and Trevor Harris, a good quarterback, he always looks great when he's the backup, Babano. He's like Frank Reich in Buffalo was, most popular guy in town until he was the starter. Like, the backup quarterback's always the most popular guy in town. And I saw the same thing. You remember when Trevor Harris was with the Argos, he looked great for the first 5 weeks of the season. Then he gets hurt, then he regresses. I've never seen Trevor Harris go wire to wire, play good football for an entire CFL campaign. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. Like, I'm leaning with the Eskimos here.
Well, if you believe it's a matchup thing, you should be on Ottawa here in this game.
No, I'm
Ottawa
saying it's a matchup thing.
Against the, no, though, listen.
I'm Ottawa saying it's a matchup thing that Ottawa just, you know, they don't like Calgary. They just seem to play them tough. I don't think they're that good, Ottawa.
Well, hold on now. Ottawa went 3-0 straight up and against the spread against Edmonton last year. Swept the Eskimos. Swept them. I mean, it's a matchup thing here in this game as far as I'm concerned.
But it's not the same team this year as last year, Ottawa.
Edmonton, to me, has flaws. You know, they played awful, I thought, against Montreal before their bye week. They were fortunate to escape that game with a 23-19 victory. They did not play crisp offensively. Defensively, you know, Darian Durant had opportunities, couldn't make the most of them. I think this is a circle the wagons game here for Ottawa. All three of their games have been decided by 4 points or less. They've not been blown out in any game whatsoever this season. I think you're going to get a good effort from Ottawa, and I don't trust Edmonton off a bye. What did Hamilton do off a bye week? They stunk against Saskatchewan. Terrible. Bad as it gets. The Edmonton Eskimos off byes last year. 0-2 against the spread. Jason Moss didn't necessarily have this team playing well off a bye. I remember those two Edmonton games off a bye. Penalties, turnovers, mistakes, problems, drop passes.
Oh, they were sloppy. They were sloppy against Montreal. They were sloppy against Montreal as well. You're right. And, you know, it's weird, though. Even against BC, they didn't really play well in the first half, but they came alive. Edmonton have a lot of talent, though. You raise a good point, though. The Red Blacks are in every game, and I'm not in a hurry to be laying 4 either. I think Edmonton will win. It could be a close game. Total's 57. I'm kind of weary of the total there as well. All right, we've only got a minute or two left here.
And there, well, just quickly, the caveat, though, is I took +6 with Ottawa there. Now it's +4. Don't quite like it as much at the current number.
So the Lions and the Ticats. The Lions are laying 3 points. The Ticats are still winless right now. A lot of people expected more for them, but historically they've always started slow, actually. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when Kolaris was killing it early, but the Ticats have often stumbled out of the gate. They haven't played at home yet, so I'll cut them a little bit of slack, but they've lost both games by 17 points each, respectively. You know, so they really haven't been in either game that they played in. They can't stop anybody from going up and down the field on them. There's just big plays, little dump screens turning. Everything's a big play. Their offense kind of blows. You know, coming into the year, I wasn't sold on their wide receivers. You know, Tasker's okay. Tolliver's good, but Tolliver got hurt, and, you know, the wheels just sort of fall off. Banks is a return guy. He's not a really offensive threat. It is their home opener here, and the BC Lions have won 2 straight on the East Coast. And, you know, historically, West Coast teams don't go 3-0 3 weeks in a row on the East Coast. It's a tough game to pick here. You know, I almost want to take a leap of faith with the Ticats in the home opener.
Hamilton's unbackable to me right now, and I'm a Ticat fan. I'm a Ticat season ticket holder, and I don't give a damn about saying that they're unbackable. Even though I hope they win, it's their home opener. I'll be there. I hope they win, but there's issues right now. Okay, Jeff Reinbold should not have been promoted to defensive coordinator, period, end of story. Ken Austin should not have made that decision. He was good as a special teams guy. He's not a defensive coordinator in the CFL at a high level. He was a defensive coordinator 1 year in 2012 with the Montreal Alouettes, Morenci. They gave up dead last in the CFL in total yards and passing yards allowed. They gave up 30 points or more in their first four games that season, 40 points or more two more times after that. That Montreal defense was terrible with Reinbold as the DC that year. Now he's the DC here with this Hamilton team, and I know they've had secondary injuries to Abdul Kane and Emmanuel Davis. I get that. But you got to put something better out on the field than the slop.
Yeah, but I'm looking right now. I'm looking, Babano, on the screen right here, and I see Zach Caleros with one touchdown pass and one interception. Yeah, that's not going to get it done. You're the star. Like, the offense, that's not Reinbold's fault.
No, it is. The defense has been awful, and the offense has been every bit as bad. The offensive line is not protected for Caleros. They've not run the football at all. The receiving core has been hurt big time with Tolliver not in the lineup. Jalen Saunders does have potential. He played well last week against Saskatchewan. Maybe he can step up, give Tasker and some of these other receivers some support here for Hamilton. The concern with BC is they stayed in Kingston out east between the Montreal and Toronto games. After the Montreal win last week, they flew back to Vancouver. Now they're going to fly back east for the second time in 3 weeks. And I'm concerned it's a little bit of a flat spot for BC. That being said, I could only lay BC -3. Want no part of the Cats.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, sportsmemo.com, sbrpicks.com. Check out YouTube and his SBR videos. The total is 51 in that Lions and Ticats game. Well, enjoy the game, Babano, and maybe we'll see you for our outing on the 24th, the Ottawa Red Blacks and the Toronto Argonauts. The Red Heat and Rage Golf Tournament, our prizes, closest to the pin and longest drive, were Argonaut tickets. So we're going to the game next week.
I think I might be able to be there for that. Monday's a light day, so I might be showing up there at BMO.
Great prizes that we gave in a golf tournament. Eh? We have CFL tickets for a team that's getting 4,000 people a game.
I know, you're saving the Argos. Cam and Gabe's golf tournament, saving the franchise.
We're, you know, group, we're going to call them. Yeah, we want to buy group sales. How many are you? Six.
Yeah.
There's six
more
of
than
us.
You get most
what
weeks.
What kind
yeah.
of deal can I get? There's six of us here. I don't know, though. I don't know if they just let you sit wherever the hell you want to sit. But, yeah, I figured, put it this way, I don't plan on spending very much on the tickets, Babano. I'll put it that way.
Let me just say, if I get a ticket and join you there, I'm sure I'll have no problem finding you and sitting close to you.
Yeah, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more on at the Ticat. How much were your Ticat tickets?
Ticat tickets for the season, about $380.
$380, huh?
Yep.
That's not too bad.
For 9 regular season home games and a preseason game.
Yeah, that's
and
not,
playoffs are included, too, as well, if they get there,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is not looking good. So for two games so
nah,
far,
it's, long it's, season, it's two games, but bad. Whatever, dude. It's 18-game season.
That's the fan.
There's 9 teams in the league, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's a long season. Exactly. They got time to do something about this, for sure.
There's 9 teams in the league. 6 of them make the playoffs. Like.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Babano.
All right, buddy. Take care. Have a good one.
Ian Cameron with us right there. Yeah, I love CFL. It's been entertaining, actually, this year. Tonight's going to be a good football game. It's hard to really trust any team in the CFL, though. Like, it really is. Like, you can get really frustrated. But last week or 2 weeks ago, they played like this. Now, what's going on tonight? You know, they're very inconsistent. But I do think there's going to be points on the board tonight. I like the over of that Argo Bomber game. Tommy Hutton joins us next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Ian Cameron Babano for joining us on the program. As I mentioned, the Argonauts and the Bombers this evening. I'm going with the over. Pulling the trigger on the over. It'll be nice to have some Major League Baseball back in the rotation tomorrow. We'll talk some DFS baseball and break it down. We'll have a full slate as these games start to count. All right, so we promised you Tommy Hutton and the Green Bay Packer preview. Tommy Hutton not answering the phone right now. So it looks like we'll get into our Green Bay Packer preview, unless we have Hutton right now, do we? All right, so we're talking Green Bay Packer football. No time. No time to wait. All right. Tommy Hutton, I said earlier, he's a famous member of the bus squad with the Montreal Expos. They were like a potent, they came off the bench. So they know it was the bus squad. I think Tommy might have missed the bus. He's late right now. So we'll see. Well, maybe we'll get to Tommy in a couple of minutes, but let's get into the Green Bay Packers right now. It was 2016, quite the roller coaster year for the Green Bay Packers last year. They were 4-2 after six games, and everything seemed to be rolling along as normal for the Packers. But then they hit a mid-season slide, all right? A four-game slide that had people calling for McCarthy's head, including myself. And I wasn't calling for his head, but I was just wondering, is McCarthy, is his message getting stale? Is his message getting stale? And it's funny, I just saw Greg Jennings just did an interview, former Packer wide receiver, and he said the Packers would have won more if not for Mike McCarthy. And I think a lot of these former Green Bay Packer wide receivers should just shut up, all right? All these guys are always talking about Rodgers not being a leader this and not being a leader that and McCarthy this and McCarthy that. You guys all sucked once you left Green Bay, okay? So it's not like, you guys have, a leg to stand on, all right, Greg Jennings? But in this instance, I will agree. I think Mike McCarthy is you guys a great coordinator and football mind. I think he's a horrible game day coach. And I do think he's gotten too conservative. How the hell did they blow that game against the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs a couple of years ago? That's on McCarthy. And Jennings was actually right about that. He goes, there's so many times we could have won and he didn't. And he said, look at Brady and Belichick. They're aggressive. And McCarthy would be more aggressive since he has Aaron Rodgers. He would win more. And I almost can't disagree with that. But we all remember last year Aaron Rodgers guaranteed it. He said, you know what? Everyone chill out. We're going to run the table. We're going to go to the playoffs. And it's exactly what they did. They rattled off six wins in a row. They nailed down a playoff spot. They beat the Giants at Lambeau in the playoffs. They went to Dallas, and they beat the Dallas Cowboys. And then they sort of hung around with Atlanta, but Atlanta were destined to go to the Super Bowl last year. So despite all their issues, they still ended up one game away from the Super Bowl last year. The odds makers are high on the Packers this year, and I understand why. They're 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're 5-1 to win the NFC. They're -225 favorites to win the division, which is pretty high. I mean, most teams are plus money across the board. The Patriots are like -500. It's pretty high, pretty high number to lay, -225 to win a division. The win total is 10.5, speaking of high. 10.5. It's -105 to the over, -125 to the under for the regular season win total. The Packers were the fourth highest scoring offense in the National Football League last year. They scored 27.9 points per game. Aaron Rodgers threw a league high 40 touchdowns last year. And look, they didn't have a ground game. They didn't have any running backs. Their wide receivers were, it was a carousel. Guys were playing injured. Jordy Nelson at least got through the year. But, the weapons weren't there for Aaron. He improvised. He hangs on to the football longer than anybody does. Right? Like, he'll hang on, he'll scour. So Aaron Rodgers basically willed 40 touchdown passes last year. I expect the offense to be better this year, more crisp, actually. You know, they put up 27.9. They were playing from behind. Their secondary got shredded a lot. But there's nothing not really to like about the offense. It's funny, Devontae Adams, you remember 2 years ago, Devontae Adams, everybody was like, he was the big trendy fantasy wide receiver. I drafted him, and I regretted doing it. He had 50 catches. What did he have last year? 75. And I'll tell you what, I expect big things from Devontae Adams this year. Devontae showed a hell of a lot last year, man. He was viciously injured at the end of the year, and he played through it because he knew they needed him. He played through the pain in the playoffs. He had a great playoff run. He really raised the level of his game. I think he's earned the trust of Aaron Rodgers as well. I'm actually high on Devontae Adams for fantasy purposes coming into this year. Randall Cobb. Am I the only one? It feels like Randall Cobb's 36 years old. You know, he's only 26, 27, going on 27. It feels like the guy's been around forever. Yeah, but he's actually not that old. Obviously a productive football player. They lose Jared Cook, but they replace him with Martellus Bennett. You know, no drop off. They also have Rodgers at tight end position. McCarthy loves the two tight end sets. And it's funny, McCarthy was talking about last year's problems. And he said, you know, people don't realize it, but our tight ends, and Cook was out for six games. And they've actually signed another tight end as well. They got three tight ends now because they saw what happened last year. It's very important, the two tight ends for McCarthy's system. And he said, I only had one tight end. It really, really, it's a domino effect on the offensive line. But the offensive line is solid. In past years, the O-line was a little bit shaky. But they've done a good job protecting Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of years. Ty Montgomery, a fantasy darling because of, oh, you can slot him in at the running back position, a wide receiver, and, you know, and all that other stuff. He's not a legitimate every down running back. And I would expect Jamal Williams, the kid out of BYU, to actually have a pretty big impact. I think, you know, they'll probably split carries, but I think Jamal Williams is a good football player, and I think Jamal Williams would be a good football player in the National Football League as well. So I think they found themselves a running back with Jamal Williams. Love the pickup of Jamal Williams right there. So ultimately, I like this offense. They're going to be the same thing. They're going to score 27, 28 points a game. The defense was a problem for them last year. But what's baffling about the defense is they have talent. Number one, they have talent. Number two, statistically, in a lot of the major categories, they were actually very good. But they were horrible in one category, defending the pass. So, look, rock solid versus the run. You know, they gave up less than 100 yards a game on the ground. They got to the quarterback. They were fifth in the National National Football League in sacks. They were seventh in the National Football League in interceptions. So, like, think about it. You talk about a team's defense, all right? How do they do against the run? Well, they give up less than 100 yards a game. All right, how, do they get to the quarterback? Yeah, they have 40 sacks. They're the fifth leading sack getter in the NFL. Yeah, how's their secondary? Well, they're seventh in the league. They got 17 interceptions. How the hell they give up so many points then? It's almost baffling. Like, really, you look at this, I'm like, I don't get this. Like, check mark, check mark, check mark. Okay, Nick Perry had 11 sacks. Check mark. Like, it's like, why were you guys so bad? And I don't really think it was the players. I think it was the scheme. And Gunther Cunningham is a good coordinator, but it just seemed like, you know, we've all been there, man. Like, you know, you can't get anything right. And it was just like a downward spiral where they couldn't tackle anyone. They couldn't cover anybody. They were getting lost in the schemes. It was a real train wreck, man. But they actually do have some talent. Now, I like the draft pick of the King kid out of Washington. Big cornerback. He's got 4.3 speed. Big, tall kid. He can run like the wind. You know, they've gotten much faster. Micah Hyde, now with the Buffalo Bills. Good player, but he's not a blazer. Like, they realize we need speed, man. We can't keep up with these wide receivers. We got to get quicker on the defensive side of the football. And they did do that. I mentioned Nick Perry, 11 sacks for Nick Perry. Julius Peppers gone, Hyde is gone. They've sort of gone younger on defense. But all this concern about the Green Bay Packers defense, I think it's overblown. 2 years ago, the Packers defense was a strength, all right? And you look down the stretch, when they lost the four games in a row after, they responded with some good defensive efforts, okay? So I think defensively the Packers are going to be all right, and offensively they're going to be great. So which leads us to their schedule. Very manageable schedule. 18th-ranked schedule in the National Football League. Their opponents last year had 122-32-2 record for a 480 winning percentage. Let's go game by game here. I think they're going to be 3-1 after their first four games. They host Seattle in the opener. I think they beat Seattle in the opener. They go to Atlanta. It's a revenge spot. It wouldn't shock me if the Packers won this game, but let's tag it as a loss. They beat the Bengals at Lambeau. They beat the Bears. And how about Clay Matthews saying he's going to miss Jay Cutler padding his stats? So they're going to be 3-0. They could be 4-0. 3-1. It could be 4-0. All right. Then they're at Dallas. They're at Minnesota. They host the Saints and the Lions. I think we have another 3-1 here. I think we're looking at a 6-2 football team after eight games. At the Bears versus the Ravens. At the Steelers versus the Bucks. To me, it looks like another 3-1. Like, I almost look like month by month that the Packers are a 3-1 football team, if not sometimes 4-0. Three of their last four games are on the road. This is a little bit of a problem, but one of the games at Cleveland, at Carolina. They host Minnesota at the Lions. I think they could squeeze another 3-1 out of this. Generally, when we talk about these regular season win totals, you know, you want to buy low, like Jacksonville or 5.5. I think Jacksonville can win more than 5.5 games. The Buffalo Bills are only 6.5. All they got to do is go 7-9. You're not asking for a lot. You know what I mean? You're not asking for a lot. You know, you bet over 10.5, you need 11-5. You need 12-4, et cetera. Yet I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers roster. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm looking at the fact that they have Aaron Rodgers. And I don't see, like, how this football team doesn't win 12 football games this year. I think they're an 11-win team minimum. Let's 13-3 might be a little ambitious. So let's say 12-4 for the Green Bay Packers. But I like the over, 10.5. I think they get there. I think they 11-5 minimum. Look at the division that they play in. The Bears. The Bears blow, all right? The Bears are terrible. And what are the Bears going to do to them? Nothing. That's two wins. The Detroit Lions are okay. And I'm kind of a semi-Lion fan, but they're okay. You know what I mean? The Lions, you know, Aaron Rodgers always beats them on a Hail Mary or whatever. The Detroit's won like once at Lambeau in like 40 years type of deal. You look at the division they play in, there's no reason they're not going to win a division. There's no reason why they can't go 11-5, 12-4. And I think the Green Bay Packers are legitimate Super Bowl contenders, and it wouldn't shock me to see the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. Isn't that the matchup? Brady, Rodgers, isn't it, you know, that's what we want. That's what everyone would want to see. I think it could happen. Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Chris Meany into the studio. It takes time out of his very busy schedule of arguing with people on Twitter right now about football stats. I said off the top of the show, I always thought MMA fans were the worst. NFL fans are pretty bad.
Yeah, well, especially about their team, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't like to get into too much Twitter beef, you know, with
For the record, look, I've done team-by-team previews.
Oh, and you
There's
you
only two teams fans, three teams fans that like me. Cowboy fans, Raider fans, and Titan fans. Everyone else think I suck. Like, it's not my fault your team sucks. You suck. Yeah. Your life sucks, not me.
Yeah, well,
you suck. The Cleveland Browns suck, all right?
The Browns fans mad at you, like... The same thing last year. We did a Cleveland Browns preview, and it's like, oh, I mean, you guys are way too hard on the Browns. I mean, RG3 is top notch. This guy's awesome. And it's like, yeah, when he stays on the football field, he's awesome. Well, what happened?
I said,
up his shoulder in week one.
I said they'll be 3-13. The guy's like 7-9.
That's a 7-9. Come on, wow.
But hey, people are passionate about this stuff. But it is interesting. And as somebody that researches stuff as much as you do, you must see this. It is frustrating. You will see different stats at different sites sometimes.
You do.
Yeah, and it'll be minor. Oh, 51 catches, 52 catches, or whatnot. And you're getting into it with a guy about Amari Cooper right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, I just found it interesting. Well, last year, Seth Robertson and Michael Crabtree had more red zone targets than Cooper. And I'm looking deeper into Cooper 2 years in the NFL. Zero catches inside the 10 in 2 years. So last year, zero catches, right, on like seven targets inside the 10. And I saw Modica tweet that. And I said, listen, in 2 years, he has zero catches. And the guy says, that's not true. He tagged somebody who's an Oakland fan and showed the footage of all of Cooper's attempts inside the 10, so those seven targets. And the first one was a catch on the sidelines, what looked like a catch, but his feet were, like, not in bounds.
And the video cut out.
And the video cut and went to the next play. So I go ahead, and I'm like, no, it's not. And I look at the box score, and he had zero touchdowns. So obviously that didn't count as a touchdown. I said, you know, that footage was cut quickly, and you can't tell. The other catch was a two-point convo, which also does not count.
It's probably the same guy that commented on our Raider video, because I said Amari Cooper drops too many balls as well.
Well, I think he led the league in drops 2 years ago.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, he only dropped four balls is like a lot. I'm like, yeah, he dropped more than four balls.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. The whole drop ball stat thing was one that drive me crazy, and I wish I had time to do this, or we had some interns. If our interns stop cutting golf clips for mail, we'll get them on some Bronco stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I need to know, because they said the Denver Bronco wide receivers only dropped 14 passes last year.
Well, DT dropped a ton.
What I said. I said, there's no way. I said, I saw Thomas drop like six a game.
So
you're telling me the entire year is only 14? I don't know about some of these stats. I got to be honest with you.
I know. Pro Football Focus is the one I usually go to. And I mean, I sent him a link to Football Reference. And he said, I'd rather trust his buddy who cut the Raiders video than words on a screen.
Well, yeah, but it's
Football Reference.
His buddy cut the video. He edited it.
He cut it too quickly. We needed to see that play out. Maybe let's see the replay. Let's see the right foot on the white line. At the end of the day, he had zero catches.
You see Amari Cooper, though, he spent a lot of time in the weight room.
Man, this guy is – there's no question his skill and talent. It's just, again, I think he could end up having another season with zero catches inside the 10. I mean, they got Marshawn Lynch there, a guy who can run the ball in. And you know what? Crabtree is a beast inside the red zone, and he's outgained him twice now. And like I said, Seth Roberts had a ton more red zone targets. It's no disrespect to Cooper. You get work on the feet work a little bit, but we'll probably this time next year we're talking about for sure.
Crabtree's success has surprised me a little bit, to be honest with you. The career revival.
Yeah, he was always talented, just couldn't get it going in San Fran. You know, he had some off-field issues.
You know, he reminds me of
a little bit of a hothead and some injuries.
Is DeShaun Jackson.
Yep.
Very similar. Like, you're really good. You could be a star, but you're not. And you are one Sunday. And it's sort of.
And some 49ers fans were like, good riddance. We don't want you.
I mean, we're
done with your attitude. You won't stay on the football field. You got an ankle injury. We don't want you. And then he goes and he gets a fresh start. And we see the talent and the skill that he has. And two straight years, he's had more fantasy points than Amari Cooper. And every year, just like this year, Cooper's going to go ahead of him. And in a couple rounds later, you can just go ahead and get Crabtree, who you know is safe.
The Raiders are like a lot of good football teams. When you look at them from a fantasy perspective, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of different.
They do.
Are they going to Cooper? Who's their number one guy? It's supposed to be Cooper.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, but I think it's even. I mean, they both flirted with about 90 catches. They both get the targets.
I think Lynch.
They brought in tight end and Cook.
I think Lynch is being undervalued a little bit, actually. I think Lynch is going to have more of an impact than people realize. He's a little bit fresh. I think Del Rio will know how to use him. And like you said, they're going to punch this guy in, man. They're going to get to the 6-7 yard line. They're going to be like, so let's just give it to him 2-3 times in a row.
And what you noticed last year is they didn't know who to go to. Was it Rashard? Was it Washington? Was it Latavius Murray? Well, now they know who to go to.
None of those guys are inside the 10.
Exactly.
Put your head down and run you over.
And the one thing with Lynch, if you look at his best season, 5 yards per carry a few years ago, and he worked with the best line he ever had was Seattle, the 7th best line. This year, or last year, Oakland was graded as the 5th best line.
And
they're a top line. Exactly. Just yards after contact. He is going to love this offensive line. And unlike what they did in Seattle, you're on the one, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Jack Del Rio's not going to mess around. They're going to give you the football.
And he won't be tired either, because they're going to give him the ball 14 times a game only, exactly. or 12 times.
Yeah,
like, they're not going to, you know, they'll know when to use him at what part of the field.
Exactly.
Like, he might get the ball 6 times out of 8 plays.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he's going to get the ball 20, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, they have young guys that they could mix in there, and he's probably not going to be a guy, Gabe, that gets 20 carries a game on average, but like you said, 14 to 15, and those red zone rushing attempts and those scores. I mean, he still leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns since 2010. He didn't play last year. He was hurt the year before that.
We got to get out of here. He might be this year's LeGarrette Blount with all those touchdowns.
I think 14 to 15
is within range. We got to take a quick break and come back with our 2 picks of the day.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Time for our plays of the day. I lied. I said we had 2 picks. We've actually got 3. I'm going to give you a bonus. Let's make it 4. Give me the Toronto Argonauts plus the 3 points, although I like the over more in this football game. Argos are 0-3 to the under so far this year, but I think they're going to have their first high-scoring game. Let's tease this game to the over as well. Give me the Boltman plus 10. Tease to the over and a Toronto connection here. Give me the Raptors to beat the Blazers in the Summer League.